How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma City Thunder, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello there, everyone. We're locked in for episode 90 of Locked On Thunder, presented by the Golden Transcript. I'm your host, Fred Katz. Locked On Thunder is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Head on to iTunes and search Locked On Thunder to subscribe to the podcast there, and you can leave a review once you're on that page also. Find us on audioboom.com too, and log on to normantranscript.com to check out my blog, Thunder Road. It's under the sports tab on the site, and you can check out all your Thunder coverage there. I'm on every day of the week, Monday through Friday. I'm off Friday this week, like I've said in the previous podcast before, Thanksgiving, so I'm taking Thursday off, but I will be back to the normal schedule Monday through Friday. After that, Thunder lost Tuesday night to the Lakers, 111-109. Another heartbreaker following that Indiana game where they lost in overtime. Nick Young, game-winning three in the final seconds. Westbrook missed the three at the buzzer from basically the same spot that he made that three against Indiana the previous game. Thunder were down 14 in the fourth quarter. Really amazing comeback led by Westbrook. He had 15 straight points in the fourth. He hit four threes in that stretch. Really amazing. Kind of ridiculous, though. I mean, I think the question that people have been asking this whole time is, can Russell Westbrook sustain this pace? I think we need to tweak that question. I think Russell Westbrook can sustain this pace. I do think he's going to do that. I have faith that Russell Westbrook's going to do that. I think we need to adjust what that question is, though. I don't think the question should be, can Russell Westbrook sustain this pace? I think it's, can the Thunder sustain Russell Westbrook at this pace? I don't know if they can. So here's how the Thunder had to come back. They were down 14. They had an imperfect game. Not a terrible game. Certainly not a good one. Eight turnovers, some bad shots. It was kind of out of control. He didn't play well against Indiana either by Russell Westbrook standards either. So that was about seven straight quarters of not phenomenal, not A-list Russell Westbrook. And they got struggles from the bench. The defense really struggled with Cantor on the floor throughout the night. They were down 14, the Lakers, another slow start. They came back from down 14 late. Now, here's what they needed to come back down 14 late. I'm just going to read this off because this becomes more and more ridiculous as you go down the list. Thunder down big. Russell Westbrook makes a three with 5:13 left in the game. Here's what happens after Russell Westbrook makes the three. Next possession, corner three with an assist from Victor Oladipo. Victor Oladipo got a touch pass. He was the only guy to touch the ball on that possession. He touched it for less than a second. It was a touch pass. Gave it right back to Russell Westbrook. Next possession, Westbrook makes a running bank shot. Doesn't pass the ball. Next possession, pick and roll. He goes straight to the rim. Gets fouled. Doesn't pass the ball. Next possession, isolates. Dribbles in the backcourt. Turns around from the right corner. Hits a three. Ridiculous shot. Doesn't pass the ball. Next possession, fast break, missed the layup, doesn't pass the ball. Next possession, right side pick and roll, floater, no good, doesn't pass the ball. Next possession, right side pick and roll, makes a three, it goes in, huge three, but he didn't pass the ball. Next possession, fast break, he pulls up from three, didn't pass the ball. The whole time, he didn't pass the ball for a stretch of 3 minutes and 57 seconds before finally entering another possession where he passed it. He actually didn't pass the ball for more than 4 minutes straight. For 4 minutes straight, no one other than Russell Westbrook on the Thunder touched the ball in the front court. Now, Westbrook was on fire. He was on fire. He was hitting threes that the hottest guys don't hit. He was like, you know when Klay Thompson gets really hot and is hitting crazy threes? That's what Westbrook was doing. Like when Westbrook gets hot, those aren't the shots he's always hitting because he's not a crazy three-point shooter. But he was hitting those shots on Tuesday night. He was definitely feeling it, and he knew he was feeling it. He took over in a way that even he hasn't really taken over this year. But what is that? Eight straight possessions? What is that? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven straight possessions. The ball reached the front court, and no one other than Russell Westbrook touched the ball once it got there. That's just not sustainable. That's not sustainable. And it's not unsustainable for Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook is going to continue to put up these ridiculous numbers. I'm pretty convinced of that. That's going to happen. He's that good. And let's be real. It's not like Russell Westbrook is darting everywhere on the defensive end. Like, we talk about Russell Westbrook's relentless energy, and it's there. He's an unbelievably energetic player, and he plays crazy hard. But Russell Westbrook is not diving after guys on the defensive end. Like, we don't hear anybody wondering, can Kawhi Leonard sustain this? Because Kawhi Leonard does the same thing on defense that Russell Westbrook does on offense. It's just not as obvious. It's not as measurable in numbers. You can't just look at it and say, oh, Kawhi Leonard shot 30 times because he's not doing that. But he's doing the equivalent on the defensive end. People don't wonder that. The question's got to be, can the Thunder offense sustain this? They're already bottom 10 in the league. They're already one of the least efficient offenses. Steven Adams had a good offensive night tonight. He made shots around the rim. He had a career high 20 points. He's never scored 20 points in a regular season game before. He scored 20-something in some preseason games. He's never scored 20 in a regular season game before, so he scored a career high. Oladipo had an imperfect night, but he wasn't terrible. You know, they had a couple of not real offensive outputs from their other two starters. Robertson was Robertson, and Sabonis wasn't really making a real impact on the offensive end. And that hurts you. And Westbrook kind of tuned everybody out late. And when the ball is not moving, when the ball is only in his hands, and this was against the team that ranks really low in defense. This was against a bottom 10 defense. The Lakers are a bottom 10 defense in terms of points allowed per possession right now. Good teams are going to be able to guard that. Good teams can guard a straight 100-mile-an-hour fastball. They can guard that stuff. They can figure that out. And that's the thing. I don't know if that offensive strategy is sustainable. And I don't know what the answer is, because it's not like they're overloaded with offensive talent. You know, obviously, they're playing the Kings on Wednesday night. So the Rudy Gay name is going to come up. People are going to talk about Rudy Gay because they're obviously the Rudy Gay rumors. Shouldn't say rumors, reports. I don't want to conflate rumors with reports. Adrian Wojnarowski reported it. Zach Lowe reported it. And there's fire to that smoke. But Rudy Gay is not on the Thunder right now. And with this current roster, I was watching that, and it's fun. As a basketball fan, it's fun to watch Russell Westbrook do what he did, because there are so few human beings on the planet who can do what he did tonight in that 5.5-minute stretch. It was just outstanding. But from a team basketball perspective, like, you can't do that every single night. You just can't. Maybe Russell Westbrook can, but the Thunder can't. And that was really the problem with the fourth quarter to me. And it looks a lot better if that Nick Young shot doesn't go in, or if somebody calls a travel when he receives the ball because he took about 4 steps there. And the Thunder get the ball back and they win by 1 because that Steven Adams put back to put him ahead, you know, 109-108 or whatever it was. That ends up being the game winner. And things look a lot better. All of a sudden, Russell Westbrook carried him to a victory and they're up 1. But those who listen to this podcast, you guys know I'm always a believer in judging the process over the result every time. I think that's how you end up being successful in the long run. And this was it's not shocking. It's not shocking to see that Westbrook took over late. It's not shocking to see the Thunder get off to a slow start, for the Thunder to come back late. Because for all the talk of their slow starts, which is obviously legitimate and it's been a trend, they've actually been one of the best fourth quarter teams in the league. So if you want to look at glass half empty or glass half full instead of glass half empty, that's a way to look at it. Their net rating coming into tonight in fourth quarters, I believe, was plus 9.9 per 100 possessions. Outscoring teams by 9.9 points per 100 possessions. Put them as one of the 5 or 6 best teams in fourth quarters in the NBA. Not sure why that is. I don't know why the slow start thing is happening. But that's something to look at. And I guess if you're going to say, hey, hold on, this crunch time thing is sustainable. Russell Westbrook is that good. He can hold up the team that much to the point that it is sustainable. That's really your argument right now. Hey, look at the fourth quarter offense. Look at the fourth quarter production. It's been good. It's been like legitimately really good. But I don't know. I'm looking at the process of how it's happening beyond the numbers. And I don't know if I see it. I really don't know if I see it. A couple Twitter questions before we go. From Dakota Hoover, do you sense some of these games are due to Donovan experimenting with new lineups, similar to last year as his first year at head coach? Yeah, I do. He looks like he's playing around with Joffre LeVern a lot. I have a feeling Joffre LeVern's going to be getting even more playing time at some point. That's not anything that I've heard. It's just kind of guessing from the way that Donovan has eased Laverne in and from the way that they're using Laverne. He's starting to hit threes, and they're using him as a three-point shooter, and I think that's a big deal. They're kind of using him in the way that I think maybe at least I thought or hoped that they'd use Ersan Ilyasova, except he's a better defensive player than Ersan Ilyasova. And if he can hit threes at that rate, I mean, look, he's never hit threes at a high rate in his career, but he's always been a guy who people have said, well, he might be able to start hitting threes at some point soon. Really good from mid-range. Decent from the corners. Not good from above the break in his first couple of years in the league. This year has been a little bit different. He's been good, small sample size. But the Thunder are obviously encouraging him to take threes from all around the arc. And he's hitting them, and he's taking them at a decent volume. And I think that's something, if he's going to take those threes, he's going to be getting some more time. I've said all year, I don't think Donovan's going to settle in on a rotation. He just doesn't believe in that stuff. He believes in playing a bunch of different guys and keeping a bunch of different guys ready. And I mean, look at him. Morrow got more minutes than Abrines tonight. That's a new thing. Kanter was in and out. He started the fourth quarter with a different lineup with Grant playing the four. I think that was a reaction to the fact that the defense totally fell off when Kanter was on the floor tonight. I think Kanter really struggled tonight. I think tonight was one of those nights where you look at the Kanter plus minus and you're like, oh, that kind of makes sense. But I do think that Donovan is experimenting right now. And I don't know if you can look at any one loss in particular and say, oh, they lost that game because Billy Donovan was experimenting with a lineup. But I do think it's possible that at some point across the course of a season that on the aggregate you can say, you know, the data, it ends up losing you a loss or something like that. But at the same time, I don't think that necessarily makes it the wrong strategy. I mean, I think Billy believes this is what helps in the long term. He believes in taking the long-term view. And I understand that. I get that. I completely understand why a coach would think that, and I don't necessarily disagree with it. But I think Billy would tell you that, you know, he knows that kind of stuff might cost you, you know, a loss in the short term here or there. But it helps you, you know, come a time when you really need it. Next question from Jason Phillips. Why I got two from Jason. First one is, why so little Kanter and Adams together? This wasn't a good matchup for Kanter. You know, it's amazing. The more every year, the more big men that there are that end up stepping out to three, the more wings that there are who end up playing a position down, playing the four, the more guys who end up in those situations, the tougher it is to get Kanter on the floor with Adams. Now I understand that Kanter is a guy who, he's a great offensive player. He does everything. As a scorer, he does everything. He can shoot. He's got amazing moves around the rim. He's a great offensive rebounder. He's got touch. He can get putbacks. He can set screens. He can pick and pop. He can pick and roll. He can do it all. He can post up. He's got it all. He's the full package offensively. He's not even a good offensive player. He's a great offensive player. But there were moments when he was struggling to rotate. You know, tonight it wasn't even quite the pick and roll. But there were moments when he was out of his element away from the paint tonight. When he was struggling to help or whatever it was. When he let guys into the lane. And that was, it hurt the Thunder in a lot of ways, I thought. And I think that's why you saw Billy Donovan get away from it come the fourth quarter. Now Kanter ended up coming back into the game. But Billy Donovan was experimenting. Start the fourth quarter, Kanter wasn't out there. And I don't know. I don't know how you make it work with Kanter, because they need Adams. They need Adams. Adams is the biggest part of their defense, and their defense is their identity. That doesn't mean there's the most important player. Obviously, Russell Westbrook is their most important player, but he's the most important part of the thing that is the most important part of their identity. He's essential to this team, whether he's scoring 20 like he did tonight or whether he's scoring like 6 like he has on a couple of off nights. He is essential to this team, and he's had a really good defensive season. He hasn't been all defense, and I don't love defensive RPM. That's real plus minus. It's an advanced stat, which basically takes in, you know, an all-encompassing vision of kind of how you've been on either side of the ball. There's defensive RPM, offensive RPM, and both. He's second in defensive RPM. I don't love that stat. I don't love that stat, but it does tell you, hey, look closer. Steven Adams has been a good defender, and he has. Something that Steven Adams has been doing really well this year, which he's not getting enough credit for. At least he's not from the people tweeting at me that Steven Adams isn't having a good year. He's switching out onto wings and onto guards and staying in front of them. And how many... Someone tweeted this at me, and I thought it was a smart observation, and it's very true. And it's something that deserves to be said and deserves to be praised. He's switching onto bigs and guards, and he's staying in front of them, and there are not a lot of big men who do that kind of stuff. And it's a huge part of their defense. It's a huge part of what makes their defense as good as it is. And no mistakes about it. This is still a good defense. Like, I know when they lose, the company line is, we lost because of defense. We got to play defense. They are not losing because of defense when they lose. There are certain nights where maybe the defense can be better, and fundamentally, there are things the defense can do schematically, executionally. There are things the defense can do better. But that's not, look, if you're going to blame it on one thing. The defense has been on the whole good this year. This is a top 10 defense in points allowed per possession. It's been good. It's been good. Steven Adams is a big part of that. And so you can't take Adams off the floor. He's got to be playing his 30, 31, 32 minutes. And it's hard to find room for Kanter in a lot of these games. The games where you can get him out there, games where teams play two conventional bigs that are good matchups for Kanter, you do it. You get him out there. You try to see if you can get him closer to that 30-minute marker. But I understand Donovan's predicament. It's tough. Like, there are scenarios in which Kanter can play a lot of minutes on certain rosters. It's just hard on this one. Next, the other question from Jason Phillips was, why are the Thunder better in the second half? I have no idea. This question's killing me. And I've asked Oladipo, and it's not just me. I mean, Eric Horn and Brett Dawson, the two beat writers from The Oklahoman, who both do a great job and are in now my favorite commercial on television. I'm not in Los Angeles, in case you couldn't tell. I'm in my living room. I'm not going on the road trip during Thanksgiving, so I won't be in Sacramento tomorrow night, and I won't be in Denver on Friday. My next road game is Monday when they play the Knicks. But we've asked those questions. We've asked Donovan. We've asked Oladipo. We've asked Adams. Nobody knows. I have no idea. I mean, it's true. So coming into this game, I haven't checked the numbers after the game. They've lost 6 of 8 right now. But coming into this game, they'd lost 5 of 7. And in that 5 of 7 stretch, I had this article up on normantranscript.com on Thunder Road. And coming into this game, they were getting outscored by more than 12 points per 100 possessions in first quarters during that 7-game stretch. Awful. Not good. More than 7 per 100 possessions in second quarters. Same thing. That's really bad. Fourth quarters, they're up over 9. They're outscoring opponents. 9.5 points in that stretch per 100 possessions. On the season, they're up at around 10. They're probably even better after this loss to the Lakers in fourth quarters. And against the Lakers, same thing. Down 29-16 at the end of the first. And then they lock down defensively. They start scoring more. You know, I don't know. It could just be total coincidence. It could be total coincidence. It could be something else. I couldn't tell you. I don't know why teams get off to slow starts, because it's a collective thing. And it's not always the exact same thing. Sometimes it's turnovers. Sometimes it's defense. Like, it's not like it's the same issue every night and then they turn it around. So I honestly don't know. If anyone has theories, please tweet them at me, @FredKatz. I don't know the answer. And it's bugging me because it really is happening all the time, even in the wins. Like, they gave up 40 points to Brooklyn. They beat Brooklyn by 19. But they gave up 40 points to Brooklyn in the first quarter, and they were down 6 at the end of the first quarter. So I don't know what it is. I couldn't tell you, but it is a weird thing. Tomorrow they play Sacramento. I should say today, because you're going to be listening to this on Wednesday. So today, Wednesday night, they play Sacramento. That's going to be, so tomorrow's podcast, Thursday morning's podcast, that's going to be the last podcast of the week before I wrap up. 3-day weekend, I'm taking off. Sue me. I think you can deal without me. It's my first day off Locked On Thunder since I started this thing for real. So I think you can deal without me. Back to 5 days a week. Next week, in the normal show, 5 days a week, all again after that. But you can head out to iTunes to subscribe to Locked On Thunder. And if you have questions or comments, email lockedonthunder@gmail.com, or just hit me up on Twitter, like I said, @FredKatz. Log on to normantranscript.com for all your Thunder needs. And check out Thunder Road. That's my blog, like I said before, to follow team coverage and what's next for the Thunder there. That's going to do it for today. Back with you tomorrow for more Thunder and NBA talk, for a wrap-up of the Kings game. And until then, Locked On Thunder is locking up.